we're back. The season, the NBA season starts imminently. And just in case the 7.5 hours of team previews by the Brickhouse podcast wasn't enough for you, got more stuff to get you ready to watch NBA basketball with episode 99 and our final season preview. I'm Bob Johnson.
And I'm Matt Baker. 7.5 hours. It's
longer than the HBO show The Night Of.
Really? Hey, it's not just podcasts, Bob. It's Brick House. I was trying to do this. Not just TV, it's HBO. Sorry.
Yeah, we have a lot less eczema and equal amounts of adorable kittens in our preview podcast, if you haven't heard them.
Yeah.
Matt, we survived another summer getting by on the scraps of the draft, free agency, embarrassing owner interviews, and the Olympics. It really is a tough time for an NBA fan, that long summer.
Yeah.
The season previews have been a form of therapy for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they have been for you, too. It helps to fill that void of basketball when we're researching all these podcasts, delude myself into believing it's closer than 2 months away, but we're finally here.
It flew by. Well, for me, at least. I don't know. The Olympics helped.
The Olympics do help. Last night, just so I was prepared for picking up where the last year's NBA season left off, I rewatched Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
Oh, wow. Where did you watch it? It was on NBA TV?
I've saved it on my DVR all summer.
Nice.
You know, in case I wanted something to watch. And yeah. It wasn't until like a couple nights before the season's about to start. I figured, you know, like when you watch Mr. Robot or any TV show now, they give you the previously on, and especially what just happened on the last episode.
Yeah.
Plus, I've been reading so much about which players who participated in Game 7 have either watched it or not watched it. LeBron James finally watched it. Kevin Love hasn't watched it. Steph Curry hasn't watched it. Draymond Green just kicked the video in the whatever video version of the nuts.
Yeah.
But it was really a historic season last year, a perfect one for us to start our Brick House podcast. And if this upcoming season picks up where Game 7 left off, we're in for another treat, both in the NBA and in our Brick House coverage of it. One void that remains empty in this new year of the NBA, though, is there's no Kobe Bryant.
No.
Kobe Bryant, he's not going to be playing. I don't think we've, by any stretch, heard the last from Kobe. But I did hear some advice that Ty Lue had for Kyrie Irving. I was trying to think of who can fill this Kobe void.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie's on a short list of people that I think has the potential with a couple other people ahead of him.
Right.
But first, Ty Lue told Kyrie Irving, if you want to have Kobe mentality, remember this. Kobe didn't give a fuck.
That's what he said.
He don't care.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I wanted to put together a short list of people that we've probably talked about before would be in line to replace Kobe Bryant. Already, folks are knighting Karl Anthony Towns as the next Tim Duncan.
Right, yeah.
But the next Kobe really has some more charismatic shoes to fill. Who would you think are on my short list of replacing Kobe's tenacity?
Well, you already said Kyrie. Maybe Lillard?
I got Damian Lillard as the number two.
Yeah. Well, this is tough. Isaiah Thomas? I don't know. That might be too off the board.
The number one player is the one that Kobe said whose game most closely resembles his.
Oh, Kyrie wasn't number one.
No, it was Russell Westbrook.
Westbrook, yeah. I was thinking Westbrook and Harden, but I didn't know if they were already, if you were thinking of someone who weren't quite as established.
Yeah, I think in order, my pecking order to replace Kobe Bryant, Westbrook, Lillard, Irving,
yeah.
John Wall, maybe,
Wall, yeah.
Number four.
Who do we think is going to replace Kevin Garnett?
I don't think anybody can replace yeah. Kevin Garnett. Draymond Green is definitely the closest in the shit-talking department,
yeah.
But I don't know if he can really fill the shoes of the big ticket.
Some of the podcasts we were listening to, Woj did one with Brian Scalabrine, just talking about Garnett.
Mm-hmm.
And
And
he talked about how the trash talk, when KG was injured on the bench in the 09 playoffs, the trash talk from KG from the bench had a clear effect on the Magic players who were on the court.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, 538's Nate Silver, Matt?
Yes.
Like the only famous statistician there is.
Right.
He did some some groundbreaking work that I think is really just his way of doing anything to not think about the election, maybe, for
sure.
Half of a day.
Right. But
they put together the tallest and shortest teams in the NBA.
Wow. Okay.
Any guess at who the tallest team overall in the NBA might be?
The tallest team in the NBA?
Yeah. The tallest average height, I guess, would be also the tallest, you know, total height.
Maybe the 76ers? Or the Kings, maybe?
The tallest team has a 6'11" point guard.
Yeah.
Little hint there for you. The Milwaukee Bucks.
The Bucks.
Yeah, the Bucks are followed in order. They have an average height of 6 feet, 7.25 inches.
Wow.
Followed in close in order by the Warriors, Kings, Wolves, and Knicks.
Oh, okay.
You would definitely think the Kings, since they have about 17 centers on the team.
Right.
The other end of the yardstick, the shortest teams in the league. Any guesses?
Wait, was the Magic one of the tallest teams?
The Magic,
they would have been up there too.
You know, all of them are pretty close, but
sure,
they're not in the top five.
Shortest team, Nets.
The Nets are not in the top five. The shortest is the Boston Celtics.
Oh.
The Arya Starks of
okay.
the NBA, if you listen to our Celtics preview.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense because they don't have anyone at 7 feet, right?
Olynyk. Yeah, the next five to round out the bottom five shortest teams, Rockets, Pacers, Suns, and Cavs. Some more useless information for you here, Matt. If you stacked every single NBA player on top of each other, they'd be almost 212 feet taller than the tallest building in the world, the Burj Khalifa.
Khalifa, yeah.
You're familiar with the Burj Khalifa?
Yeah, in Dubai, right?
Cool. Do you know who the tallest player in the NBA is? He looks like a caveman.
Oh.
Kristaps is number 3.
He looks like a Boban?
Boban.
Yeah.
Boban's the tallest, followed closely by Roy Hibbert, Kristaps, Georgios Papagiannis, and Rudy Gobert.
Wait, Hibbert is the second tallest player in the league. Wow.
Although Hashim Thabeet is trying to make a comeback,
oh, yeah,
so that could change real
right.
soon. Yeah, Boban is a full 18 inches taller than the shortest player in the NBA, who is not Isaiah Thomas, but Cavs rookie Kay Felder.
Kay Felder.
Who's 5 foot, he's not 8 feet, 5'8" and a quarter inch.
Wow.
The other shortest players, Isaiah Thomas, Tyler Ulis, Casper Ware, J.J. Barea, and D.J. Augustine. I wanted to do a segment. We've obviously previewed every team in the NBA so far, but I wanted to have Matt and I narrow down our top three storylines to follow.
Yeah.
We'll go back and forth here. Matt, I got to throw this first one out. Meta World Peace may become an assistant coach of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Perfect. I did not hear this.
Mark Stein reported that the Lakers have interest in making him an assistant coach if they run out of roster room. Rick Carlisle said during last season, much to my surprise and a lot of other people,
right,
that World Peace would make a good coach someday.
That's right.
And I think this is really just testament to what Flip Saunders did, RIP, you know, setting up the Minnesota Timberwolves last year.
Mm-hmm.
What the Colangelos did, bringing in Elton Brand to basically babysit the 19-year-old Philadelphia 76ers.
Sure.
These guys are there as a guide sort of role, not so much for...
Not for the on-court stuff, more behind the scenes.
Yeah. I don't know how many three-pointers they want World Peace shooting, but he could definitely tell D'Angelo Russell what not to do
of course.
In his career.
Yeah.
What do you suggest we follow this year, Matt?
One of the ones I have down here is Joel Embiid. I think...
Just following him on Twitter?
Yeah. What is his new... The Process?
Yeah.
Did you see that's his nickname? That was really good.
I know Brian Colangelo really wants to get rid of like all memories of Sam Hinkie in
right.
Philadelphia. It doesn't help that their star center is nicknaming himself The Process.
Yeah.
For that to really happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. This will be the first time we've started to see this whole Sixers thing come together. Like everybody's around.
Right.
Someone's going to have to go, whether it's Noel, Okafor, one of the other ones. So they might, it might not be pretty, and it might not be interesting much more than a month or two, but at least we finally get to see what Sam Hinkie died for, you know?
Isn't Jared Bayless hurt to start the season too?
Yeah, I think I saw that.
I don't even know who's going to play point guard for them then. Another storyline that I know everyone's going to be following this year, what happens with DeMarcus Cousins and the Kings?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got the new arena. If there's any player in the NBA that I would bet my life on leaving the team as soon as they have an opportunity in free agency, it's DeMarcus Cousins. I would put the chance of him re-signing with the Kings at like -5,000%. I don't even know how that works out mathematically.
Yeah. Not even the allure of signing for a year more and extra money could even keep him around, right? Yeah.
No. Yeah, my guess is eventually he leaves in free agency because the Kings will just continue to hold out hope that he won't. And I think literally almost anything could happen. Like, I would not be surprised if DeMarcus Cousins fleed to South America and Vladi, Vivek, and Shaq, like, mounted a search party to go after him.
Just to get him back?
Yeah, rather than admitting at that point, maybe we should trade the guy. What's another storyline you think we should follow this year, Matt?
Russell Westbrook.
Oh, yeah.
Is he going to, how many points is he going to score? Is he going to average a triple-double? Is he going to will the Thunder to victory? This would be a good test for the Kobe, the new Kobe, because Kobe could potentially have willed some wins out of this team, so we'll see what Westbrook can do.
Is this going to be like the 2006 Lakers, where Westbrook's pulling around Cameron Payne like he was Smush Parker?
Yeah, although in this version, Westbrook doesn't have a fit in Game 7 and just pass the ball to all of his teammates. Remember Kobe doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Another storyline I suggest watching this year, the Chicago Bulls' dominant wing players attempt to mesh. I think it could end up being a Bulls tanking year real fast if this doesn't go over well. I didn't watch a ton of preseason, but I watched a little bit of Rondo, Wade, Butler, and now Michael Carter-Williams attempts to space the floor, and it is not pretty, Matt.
I bet it doesn't look like, now that they have Carter Williams, he can't shoot any better than Rondo can, really, right? I mean,
it's quite possible he shoots worse than Rondo.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and Dwayne Wade's brought to the team, says the right thing in saying, you know, oh, it's Jimmy Butler's team. But, of course, he gets paid like $8 million more than Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, it's Wade's. In theory, it's Butler's team, but it's Wade's team.
It's disaster waiting to happen is what it is. Sorry, Bulls fans. All right, what's your last storyline we're following, Matt?
Along those lines, the new Knicks. What are they going to do?
Yeah, I think Vegas has their over-under at 38.5.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could see them exceeding that by 10 games or falling short of it by 10 games.
Yeah. What was it? Rose, Lee, and Noah? There's a lot of names.
And Hernan Gomez,
Hernan Gomez, correct. There's a lot of names that we know, and it, in theory, should work. But it just, the Knicks have done this before, where they get names, and I guess the 1 year it worked with 2011, 2010, 12.
Or they spent $100 million for one good year of Amari.
Yeah. Yeah.
Knicks fans are super pumped and delusional for this season.
Yeah. As they should be.
And my bonus storyline to follow is a bit of a homer pick, but it's the Rockets. It's like a bizarro Rockets this year. They're just doubling down on the three-pointers and no defense. Go back and listen to our Rockets team preview with recording of Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey plotting their breaking of the NBA.
If they don't play defense, then that means that they're not playing in half the game so they can get more rest and play better offense or something like that.
Yeah, if Houston was one of those old MasterCard commercials, I think it would end Houston, where the NBA franchise is a guy from MIT's experiment. In true Brickhouse fashion, I just went through Hoops Hype and NBA Reddit trying to find some funny storylines. This one actually came from the Wall Street Journal. Boris Diaw, the newest member of the Utah Jazz, has started a coffee club in Utah. And he's got some new teammates that he wants to make friends with, plus get to know his Salt Lake City community. from the Wall Street Journal, the Jazz's growing coffee group already includes several players, coaches, and executives who sip espresso before practices and home games and visit coffee shops on the road. The person most responsible for their awakening is Diaw, who brews espresso for the Jazz because he believes drinking coffee is a team-building exercise.
Friggin' French, man.
Ugh. This is my favorite part. The club went to a specific outpost of Intelligentsia Coffee.
Nice, okay.
That had been on Diaw's list since its appearance in Barista, a documentary about the U.S. National Coffee Championships, which he watched on a flight this summer.
Okay.
Diaw's next pressing need is to try some of the world's most expensive coffee.
Yeah.
It comes from coffee beans that have been digested and then defecated by cats and elephants.
Yeah.
I heard about that, Diaw said, and I was like, oh, I got to try it.
Yeah, that's what, whenever you hear the word defecates, it's definitely something you have to try.
I love rich people, man. The most expensive coffee money can buy was shit out by cats and elephants.
You know, we could just get coffee and tell them that happened, right? Like, I think that's what we should do. I can't really rip on him for watching that documentary because I excitedly watched Euro Dreams of Sushi on Netflix, Bob. So I'm not above random documentaries. Intelligentsia, is that thing they have in, like, Silver Lake or
Silver
something?
Silver Lake,
right?
Yeah. It's like a $400,000 coffee machine or something like that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going to a 7-Eleven? You know, they're not really famous for having good coffee. In fact, quite bad coffee.
Yeah.
But you go in there and you pour yourself a cup and you're just like, spit it out. Jesus, man, this tastes like elephant shit. It's just like, you just spit out $400 worth of coffee, bud.
What, did your cat eat this? And but you know what? He's got it. When you've lived the glamorous life of Boris Diaw, really there's only one thing left that can excite you.
Matt, I wanted to add a new segment this year.
Wow. Breaking news.
It's a sports betting segment.
Yeah.
Just for now, I'm going to call it Papa Needs a New Segment, but it's going to have a bunch of different things that Papa needs a new thing for, you know,
okay,
if we're winning bets. Otherwise, you know, Papa might need a loan.
Papa needs a new pair of prescription snorkeling goggles.
But since the NBA season hasn't started yet, one vote or one bet that we still have time to make are over-unders for the win totals. So every year Vegas puts out a line for how many wins each team is going to have, and you can bet either that they'll win more or less than that. So for purposes of this segment, Matt and I have each picked three teams that we think will exceed their Vegas win total, and three teams that we predict will not make that line. Matt, would you like to start?
Sure. Bob, we just talked about them. I think for my first over, it might be a risk, but Bulls over 38.5.
You like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me.
It's a slight risk, but I think this could be a 500 team.
Okay. So just, you think that's where they're going to land, right?
About
41?
I'm not saying they're going to get 50 wins. I predicted 45 in our season.
Would it change your mind if I reminded you that just last year when the Bulls hired Fred Hoiberg to replace the great Tom Thibodeau, that they said that his space and pace offense would be the difference maker that the Bulls really needed, that they didn't have with Tom Thibodeau?
Yeah, now that you reminded me, I'm adding 5 wins to that, Bob.
Good luck spacing Rondo around the 3-point line.
Yeah, I think it's a decent bet because things could click. It seemed all right when I thought about it.
Okay. Well,
because I do think that. You're right though. This is either going to be a disaster or they're going to float around 500. So,
okay. My first over pick, Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
41.5. They won 41 games last year.
Yeah.
I'm expecting James Harden being in shape, lost the Kardashian, and trying to prove that it was Dwight Howard's fault that they were bad last year.
Right, and they're basically saying that to go under, you'd think this is a sub-500 team. right? So I don't. Yeah. I would imagine that's not the case.
Yeah, I think they can beat this by 4 or 5 games at least.
Yeah.
So that's my first pick. What's your next one, Matt?
Pacers over 43.5.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. That seems way too low.
What was their win total last year? Do you know?
I don't. I can look that up. Just with the additions, I like the additions of all the Thad Young and Jeff Teague, and Paul George is on a mission. So they won 45 games last year.
And it's 43?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to be better this year.
Yeah, so I think that's a good pick.
I think the Warriors are going to exceed 66.5. Mm. You know, even if Steve Kerr rest players, you know, this year they'll be able to tell Draymond, like, you see, we don't need to go for these records. But even without trying, I find it very hard to imagine them losing 16 games.
Right.
You know, even 2 years ago, the first year Kerr was with the team, they won 67. Now they're at, you know, replacing Harrison Barnes with Kevin Durant.
Vegas would have to hope that there's a long getting to know you period with Kevin Durant.
All right, give us one more over, Matt.
Heat over 36.5.
I probably disagree with you on
that. Yeah, I only did this just contingent on, is Bosch not playing this year?
No, he's definitely not playing for the Heat.
Is he just done? Okay, so here, that was my question, because I was going to revert to my alternate. Okay. I had the alternate of Dallas over 39.5.
That I'd be more comfortable betting, nervous.
The Heat was a sheer throw money at the wall and see what sticks. So that's why I put Dallas 39.5, because I think Dallas is another one of those teams that it could be a mess, but if it's not, then they're a 500 team.
They've been a winning team every year since Mark Cuban bought the team.
Yeah, they're not. So. They don't.
This would have to be the worst season ever in Mark Cuban's tenure.
Right, and they you're right, they just don't have bad years. The one year they lost, or they didn't make the playoffs, they still had a perfectly fine record. They missed the playoffs because they were 500. The last time they were under 500 was the 99-2000 season, and they were 40-42.
Wow.
So this team just doesn't have bad years.
All right, let's tackle the unders here.
Wait, did you give your other one?
Oh, wait. Yo, my last over, Boston Celtics, 52.5. I mean, we had them as the number two team in the East. I think 54, 55 games is probably their floor this year. Yeah, the rest of the East, I think, is, you know, backsliding.
Right.
There's about 8 teams in the East, actually, that may win between 35 and 45 games. And I think Boston is going to be the cream of the crop that rises along with Cleveland. In the unders, the Philadelphia 76ers somehow have a 24.5.
That was the first. I had 27.5.
27.5? Oh, my gosh.
That's it shocked me. The thing I looked at said 27.5, which I'm not sure how.
You know what I think happened, Matt? You know that time when we were in Vegas and I drunkenly told you that the Sixers could win 30 games?
Yes, I do remember you telling me that very clearly.
Maybe there was some sort of Vegas like line maker at that roulette table or something that overheard us and thought we were some sort of sharps or something, because otherwise this makes no sense that this line is this high.
CBSSports.com has a list of the over-unders, and they have the Sixers at 27.5.
I think the team should get some sort of criminal charge if they beat this record, because it would be clear evidence that not only were they putting together a team intentionally with subpar players, but that they were in no way trying to win games.
Right, yeah. It's a ton of new victories found with not a lot of players added. Like no impact veterans, and with all due respect to Jared Bayless.
Matt, what's another team you got on your under list?
I have the Spurs under 56.5.
Interesting.
But I feel like if it's under, it would only be that half.
Uh-huh.
Like 56 wins. Gasol is going to rest a ton. Ginobili's going to rest a ton. Apparently LaMarcus Aldridge hates Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, like what is that?
He's upset at Kawhi Leonard.
How could you be upset at someone who doesn't speak?
Yeah. Well, the thing that article said that Aldridge had the impression that when he signed, he would be the go-to guy. You know, there's no way that's true. There's no way Pop. Remember Popovich, Duncan walked into that meeting with Aldridge in sweatpants.
Right.
And you know, Pop didn't care to be here. There's no way they were going to sell him on you're our go-to guy.
Right.
Because that's just not how they do it. So if he's thinking that, it's trouble. I'm probably wrong and this team's going to win 60 games, but I don't think 56 would be out of the question.
Oh, I heard one of the classic Popovich quotes recently. How did it go? You end up winning a lot of games if you don't beat yourself. So much of the game is mental. Speaking of, I got the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
Definitely below 20.5 wins.
Yeah.
Even though the team has no incentive to tank, they have a new coach who I really liked. He gave a great interview on Wojnarowski's podcast. Jeremy Lin could have some Lin sanity, you know, reuniting with the city of New York. But The Ringer just wrote an article this week saying that the Nets are basically an expansion team.
Yeah, an expansion team with no picks.
You know, their best player, Brook Lopez, will probably be traded for future draft picks pretty early on into the season. I suppose there are those games in like March and April where normally a tanking team would just, you know, take a dive and they could get some unexpected wins towards the end of the year. But I think that this is probably the second safest bet behind the Sixers.
Yeah. What about the Kings under 32.5, Bob?
Yeah, that's easy money.
Is that one of your teams?
No, but I agree with you.
Yeah. 32 wins, so that would mean that they would be, to go over, you'd be 33-49. That's too many wins, Bob.
No, yeah. They're not going to be able to do it. I agree. The last one I predicted, Orlando Magic. They're set at 37.5. If you listen to our previews, we had them, I think, as the fourth or fifth worst team in the NBA. I predicted they win 29 games this year.
Yeah.
It's really a riddle of a team that was dumped on Frank Vogel to solve.
How many wins? 37?
37.5.
I said they'd win 34, so I was even under on that, yeah.
Yeah. Vogel is a good coach, but this team really zigged when they should have zagged with every trade and free agency pickup.
Yeah, especially when they should have zagged because they traded a zag in the Serge Ibaka deal in Sabonis.
Should have zagged, man. But Jeff Green, DJ Augustine, and Bismack Biyombo are going to help this team unintentionally tank.
With tanks, then, who do you think should tank? Will anyone be tanking this season?
I think the Miami Heat will be tanking this season.
Yes.
Pat Riley did not expect the Big Three to leave like this. Unless Whiteside and Dragic turn into Nash and Stoudemire 2.0, there's no reason that this team has any chance of winning. And they should just reboot, build around Justice Winslow, Richardson, some of their younger guys. Dragic is already in trade rumors to the Kings. I think this will only grow louder if Miami loses a lot of games early.
The Suns received the Heat's first-round pick in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
It's top seven protected, so they have some leeway there. But then it's unprotected in 2019.
Nice.
So if they're going to tank, they need to do it quickly. And then they need to hope that they get something out of it.
Retain their draft pick.
Yeah.
Who's another team you think's tanking this year?
Well, the Suns should tank, I think.
Yeah, they were on my list.
They're in a perfect position for that, too. They have Booker, and they have Bledsoe. They should trade Brandon Knight. The Bender and Chris deal was great because they gave up no future draft picks in that deal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you find one more kid to add to that, they're just in a perfect position.
Yeah, I say the Suns got to be tanking this year because they can't be serious about only having Kentucky guards on their team.
Right? De'Aaron Fox, baby.
I don't think Robert Sarver hired Earl Watson with a playoff berth in mind either.
Yeah.
The 76ers, I think this is the last year of the process.
One more year.
Vince Staples joked on Bill Simmons' show that someone at the Sixers came up to Ben Simmons and was just like, this is how we do things here.
Yeah.
Our lottery picks basically have a redshirt year.
Yeah.
While we...
You're injured. I feel fine. No, you're injured.
Yeah, they could get their pick and the Lakers pick if the Lakers pick goes outside of the top three.
Right. Which, according to NBADraft.net, 6 or 7 of the top 10 picks could be point guards this year, depending on how it all falls. So
right.
The
Sixers could use one of
they
those.
They better... If they take a center or a forward, that's another one of those criminally eligible things.
All right, well, let's get into one of our favorite regular season segments. Got a special version of it for the 99th podcast, the Diss of the Week,
oh,
man.
Oh, wow.
Yo mama is so fat!
Compiled quite a few different disses because there's a lot that piled up in the preseason.
I have one too. I'll let you go first because I see if it falls in there.
Well, first we have a diss of the Beatles.
Oh, wow.
That's the band. Maybe you've heard of them.
Uh-huh.
When DeMarcus Cousins was asked if he went to the opening night concert at the Kings Arena, you know, the Kings launched a new arena this year. The first person to play there was Paul McCartney.
Okay.
Cousins was asked if he went to this show. Cousins' answer, I don't even know who that is. You're burned, Paul McCartney.
Oh, man. Take that.
We did have a nut kick attempt of the week by none other than Draymond Green. It's really Draymond Green's award to lose. Sure enough, just the other night in a preseason game against the Blazers, he attempted to nut kick Alan Crabb's nether regions.
Yeah.
And then Draymond had words for Crabb after that.
What did he say?
I don't know what he said. I wish, you know, they would mic players when they're just yelling F-bombs in other men's faces.
Yeah.
But Crabb wasn't pleased about it, and Draymond defended it boldly.
Sure.
On the court.
Yeah. I was just looking here at the concerts that opened the Golden One Center. That's what the Kings
Golden One. Okay.
So McCartney played two nights and then Maroon 5 played like a week later.
Uh-huh.
So I thought it would be funny if DeMarcus Cousins clearly like was all in on Maroon 5 and didn't know who Paul McCartney was.
Yeah. Moves like Jagger. I wonder who they're singing about.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
You know, one team that I expect to get a lot of disses of the week this year, the Warriors. Nobody's happy about them building the Death Star team in Golden State.
Sure.
I think we should expect more vitriol and shade thrown their way than any team since the 2010 Miami squad. Here's a tweet from the Blazers' official account before their preseason matchup with the Warriors.
Okay.
We're playing that team with that new player tonight. We put the odds right around 3-1. Which I read at first and was just like, that's over my head.
Yes.
Until I thought, oh, that's a dig at how they were up 3-1 in the finals.
Oh, man.
And then lost it.
Ouch.
Steve Kerr responded to Golden State Warriors Twitter hecklers saying, if any of our players are worried about social media, they've got a long, miserable life ahead of them. Steph Curry did respond with 28 points and 6 threes in the first half against the Blazers in that preseason game. Speaking of Twitter, the rookie diss of the week, Matt.
Oh, no.
Was Ben Simmons responding to Twitter trolls, and he managed to diss the Twitter troll and the NCAA in one tweet.
This, yeah.
Kyle Allen 9 said about Simmons, who must have been talking about the election or something. This guy failed basically every single college class he was in, yet tens of thousands will think he's so, quote, politically savvy.
Uh-huh.
To which Ben Simmons replied, at Kyle Allen 9, well, that's usually what happens when you don't go to any class, buddy. Hashtag Nobel Prize winner.
Yeah.
You saw that
one? Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what the Nobel Prize winner means, but
no,
I like it.
Of course not. That will go well. This is the disc I found.
Okay.
And it's a immigrant disc.
Oh, no.
It's between Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons.
Okay.
So Simmons was watching the debate and jumped in and he tweeted, "I can't listen to this guy." And the other tweet is childish. "No, you are. No, you are." These are three tweets at the time about Donald Trump in some way.
Uh-huh.
Embiid jumps on and responds, "If he wins, he's going to deport you." To which Ben Simmons said, "I'm a dual citizen. Bye-bye, Joe." Like, awesome. Yeah.
Rick Carlisle's responsible for our cheesy dad diss of the week. Same subject line. The Mavericks fell behind 18-2 in their preseason game against the Rockets the other night. How bad was it? Rick Carlisle said, "The beginning of the game was abominable. It was a Donald Trump debate performance."
Whoa.
Throwing him out there.
Get.
A diss of the week from Richard Jefferson's Snapchat, Matt.
Oh, man. The legendary.
The Cleveland Indians beat the Blue Jays 4-1 to head to the World Series. Richard Jefferson wrote, "Damn, they beat Toronto faster than we did.
Yeah.
Let's go, Tribe."
I didn't even think about that until I saw that it was the same finals, the same conference finals in both.
But of all the disses of the week, Matt, the winner goes to Russell Westbrook. It wasn't a post from this week, but I just got it this week.
You just got it.
I finally got it.
Right.
On the 4th of July, Russell Westbrook put an Instagram post up that said, "Happy 4th, y'all." And if you recall, on the 4th of July, first thing in the morning, Kevin Durant announced via the Players Tribune that he was going to Golden State.
Right.
Lee Jenkins of Sports Illustrated explained the Instagram post. What it was a picture of some 4th of July cupcakes.
Yes.
Like a three-tier thing, all decorated red, white, and blue stars and stripe cupcakes. Jenkins explained the post. "Westbrook didn't disparage Durant. He didn't judge him. All he did was take a picture. When Kendrick Perkins played center for the Thunder, he called teammates cupcake if he thought they were acting a little soft."
Uh-huh.
"Westbrook and Durant adopted the term in jest." He called Durant a cupcake.
Cupcake. Didn't one of our Brick House Inside recordings somewhat capture someone calling someone a cupcake?
That is true, yeah.
Was it Larry Bird?
I think it was Larry Bird.
Yeah.
Calling Bill Laimbeer a cupcake.
Yeah.
Well, KD has a real chance to make history this year playing for the Golden State Warriors. I think LeBron James has a chance for basketball immortality if he can beat San Francisco again.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I think LeBron winning the MVP is preordained, Matt.
Right, right.
Everyone wants to give it to him for his transcendent finals performance from last year. I liken it to McConaughey winning Best Actor for Dallas Buyers Club just because people liked him so much in season one of True Detective.
Yeah.
On the next episode of Brick House.
We're going to discuss the first week of NBA regular season games, Matt. Not preseason, ooh, not summer league,
ooh,
not Team USA scrimmages,
no,
which was like the gold medal game against Serbia.
Right.
Real games.
Actual games. You know what else? It's a big episode for us.
I think you're going to say it's going to be our 100th episode of the Brick House podcast. So we plan on bringing you something special. Tune in to find out what that is on the next episode of Brick House.